Today's reading comes from the letter of James, chapter 2, and then carrying on chapter 3. And you'll find it in the church Bibles if you want to follow it, on page 1213, but also on the screen. So we start with James chapter 2, page 1213, and the heading is Favoritism is Forbidden. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man comes in wearing filthy old clothes. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say to him, "Here's a good seat for you," but you say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated against yourselves amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not those, the ones who are dragging you into the court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him in whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And then chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, warning to rich oppressors. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everybody. I'll just sort myself out. Okay. Let's pray before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being here with us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, we pray, O Lord. Amen. So we're currently doing a series based on the book of James in the New Testament. And it's believed that this book was probably the first of the New Testament letters to be written to the churches, written before Paul wrote any of his letters. And it's thought that James was Jesus' brother, and he was also a leader of the church in Jerusalem. This letter that James wrote is a very practical letter. The main theme of the letter is, if we say we're Christians, we must also live like Christians. Discrimination of any kind is wrong, as is oppression of the poor and the weak. Christians should be self-controlled, especially in what they say. And basically, that is what this letter is all about. Now, we had two readings this morning, one from James chapter 2 and the other from James chapter 5. And there are three very important issues that are being raised by James in these readings. And these are what we're going to look at today. First, we shall look at the whole issue of discrimination. Then we shall skip across to chapter 5 and look at what James has to say about how we should be living our lives as Christians. And then we shall come back to chapter 2 and see what James is saying to us about the law. So first, let's look at what James is saying to us about discrimination. In verse 1 of today's reading from James chapter 2, we're commanded not to show favoritism, but the writer of the book of James isn't talking about us having folks that we get on with better than anyone else. You know, Jesus himself, he only had 12 disciples, and he was closer to three of those than he was to the others. It's not possible for us to be friends with everyone, and we can't have the same relationship with everyone. That's not possible for us to do. So this reading is not about having favourites in that sense of the word. It's all about justice and mercy and the way that we treat people and our attitude towards them. And in fact, the whole of this morning's talk is about justice and mercy. So Ben, if you could bring the first picky up for me, please. There we go. I thought that would make you all smile. Now, I'm sure that most of you have seen the comedy programme Keeping Up Appearances, in which Patricia Rutledge plays the part of a lady called Mrs. Bouquet. Her real name in the comedy was Mrs. Bucket, but she liked people to call her Mrs. Bouquet because Mrs. Bucket was a real snob. And what she did was she would sit in judgment on people and would decide who was more important than anyone else. She would discriminate between people and place a higher value on some more than on others. Some people were worthy of her notice, while others were not. Now, of course, this was a comedy programme, so it was over the top. It was meant to be funny, and we laughed at it because many of us recognised not only ourselves in the character of Mrs. Bouquet, but also we recognised others that we know who behave in this way. And this is what James is talking about here. We're not to sit in judgment on folks and discriminate against those we consider not as valuable as others. Instead, we're to love our neighbour as we love ourselves, because everyone has the same value in the Lord's eyes. When we discriminate against the Lord's people, deciding who's better than anyone else, we're sitting in judgment on them. We're behaving just like Mrs. Bouquet, making a decision about their value. Instead, we're to keep the royal law of love your neighbour as you love yourself. Jesus himself gave us this command, and it comes straight from the book of Leviticus, the book of the law. Now, let me get this right. In Leviticus chapter 19, starting at verse 15, it says this: "Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favouritism to the great, but judge your neighbour fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbour's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. You rebuke your neighbour frankly so that you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. And this is almost what is being said in our reading this morning. Now, obviously, there are times when we do have to make judgments, sometimes very difficult ones. And also sometimes, for very good reasons, we have to discriminate between people. Our leaders can sometimes have a difficult time of it because they might have to ask folks to leave, or they might have to ask folks to give up a position that they hold in church. But this is not about that. This is about our general attitude towards each other. So this is the first point that James is making. We're to love our neighbour as we love ourselves, because everyone has the same value in the Lord's eyes. I want to turn now to James chapter 5 and look at what James is saying about how we should live our lives as Christians. So let's just read those few verses in James chapter 5 together again, just to remind ourselves what James is saying. Where am I? Is that the right one? No. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Thank you. So James chapter 5 again. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay, the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You've condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Now, this is really strong stuff, isn't it? But in this chapter, James is reminding the Christians that the cry of their workers, the poor, and those being oppressed by them, has reached the Lord. He's letting the Christians, who are abusing their workers and getting fat at their expense, know that on the day of judgment, their wealth will be used against them, because it's evidence of their deeds. Not only are they not paying their workers a proper wage, they're actually hoarding their wealth while their workers suffer. This is not about being rich. This is about how we come by our wealth and what we do with it. James wants these Christians to understand that they can't live and do just anything they like. Yes, the Lord has made it possible for all of our sins to be forgiven because of what Jesus has done. But that does not give us license to live any way we want to. We can't mistreat people and think that will be okay with the Lord. These Christians in James chapter 5 need to understand that there is a consequence to their actions, so they need to change. This is all about the Lord's justice and mercy. These Christians in James chapter 5 are expecting the Lord to give them kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and a wonderful new life with him, while at the same time they're being so hard on their workers that their cry has reached the Lord. The Lord has decreed that if there is to be true justice in this world, then how we treat other people will affect how the Lord treats us. The Lord is fair and just. In the Lord's Prayer it says, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." If we want forgiveness, then we also have to forgive. If we want mercy, then we must also extend mercy to others. If we want kindness and compassion from the Lord, then we must also extend kindness and compassion to others. This is the Lord's justice. When we accepted Jesus and all that he did for us, we didn't just accept a freebie. We accepted his lordship. We entered into his kingdom where he rules and reigns. We're not our own. We were bought at a price. So we must live as God's people. Yes, we sin and we will continue to sin. That's why we need Jesus. But we do at least try, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to live as we ought before God. We can't just go along thinking, well, the Lord has said that he will forgive all our sins so I can do whatever I like. We can't take advantage of the Lord's goodness in that way or misuse what he's done for us. The Lord especially hates it when the poor are mistreated or marginalised by the rich and powerful. And it's something Christians shouldn't be doing. Our God is a judge of the whole earth, and justice is therefore very important to him. The Lord hates injustice. And we've seen recently with the post office scandal what a terrible thing it is. In James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Mercy triumphs over judgment. In other words, if you've not been merciful to your fellow man, then you can't expect to receive mercy from God. You'll receive only judgment. There won't be any mercy with it. When I stand before the Lord's judgment seat, I expect the Lord to extend mercy to me instead of judgment, because of what Jesus has done. And that's what James is talking about. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I receive mercy from the Lord. I'm allowed to go free. And my punishment goes on Jesus. Mercy is greater than judgment, because the Lord's mercy enables me to escape punishment. But you can't expect to have mercy from the Lord for your own sins while being unmerciful to your fellow man. So as James says, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. We're called to show mercy and extend justice to all people and to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. The Lord will deal with us with the same measure that we have dealt with others. Again, this is the Lord's justice. In Matthew 7, verse 1 to 2, Jesus says this, "Don't judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So we're to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. We're to extend to others what we want extended to us. If we want forgiveness, then we must offer forgiveness to those who offend us. If we want to be treated fairly, then we must also treat people fairly. If we want mercy, then we must also be merciful. This isn't about us working for our salvation. We can't do that. We can never earn our place in heaven. But at the same time, we can't mock the Lord and take for granted what he's done for us and think that we can behave anyhow we like and it will all be okay, because it won't be. This is about our attitudes and the Lord's justice. So this is the second point that James is making. We can't take for granted what the Lord has done for us. We must live our lives in a way that honours the Lord and shows respect for all that he has done in sending Jesus to die for us. Now, I want to go back to chapter 2 of this morning's reading, where the writer of the book of James reminds us of the law and how if we break one part of the law, we break all of it. Now, we know that we're not under law as the ancient Israelites were. We're under God's grace. He offers us full forgiveness for our sins and eternal life because of what Jesus has done, not because of anything that we do to earn it. But the law has not gone away. The law is still as valid today as it ever was. The Lord wants to have a close relationship with us. He knows that we're sinners and that a gulf separates us from him. But we need to know that. We need to understand the position that we're in if we're to be as close to our Heavenly Father as he wants us to be. And the law enables us to see that. The Lord has given us the law so that we can see our true state before him because he loves us. In Romans chapter 7, it says, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet, etc., etc. Sin is lawlessness, that is disobeying the law given by God. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 5, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So the law is as valid today as it ever was. The law reveals our sin and our need of forgiveness. So what is James saying to us today through this reading? Well, first of all, he tells us that we're not to discriminate against people, deciding who is better than anyone else, because when we do that, we're sitting in judgment on them. Then James speaks about the way that we live. We can't take advantage of the Lord's goodness or misuse what he has done for us. We must live lives worthy of the Lord. The Lord especially hates it when the poor are mistreated or marginalized by the rich and powerful. And this is something that Christians should not be doing. And finally, the law exposes our sin. And we see what we are and realize our need of Jesus and the mercy of God. We need the mercy of the Lord. Without the Lord's mercy given to us through Jesus and all he has done for us by dying on the cross, we're lost. All we have is God's judgment. We're all on a journey with the Lord. The most important thing we can do for each other is to encourage each other to go on with the Lord and to grow in our knowledge and love of him. We're all at different places on the journey, and some of us have had a better start than others. So we need to be patient and caring of one another. I want to finish by reading to you what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Amen.